The Dalai Lama, in his Nobel lecture, December the 11th, 1989, said this: responsibility does not only lie with the leaders of our countries or with those who have been appointed or selected to do a particular job. It lies with each one of us individually. Peace, for example, starts within each one of us. When we have inner peace, we can be at peace with those around us. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. Thich Nhat Hanh, from Living Buddha, Living Christ, said he loves the scripture from Christianity that says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." He said, what a universal truth that holds. And he said that it begins in each of us as well. And he said, peace is not the absence of conflict. It's rather the presence of God in the midst of the conflict or whatever is going on. And the more we practice it, he said, the more it's available when something big happens. It's like learning how to do baby steps. So practicing the presence, as Joel Goldsmith would call it, being aware of the presence of God always around you in all things. And in the midst of what's happened with these three mass shootings this last week, where 35 people were shot in less than a minute in Dayton. Less than a minute. And the police were right there, and so they were there within a minute, or it would have been far more. But the policeman was there and interceded, as they did in Gilroy and as they did in El Paso. But not only the police, but the ambulances, the EMTs, all of the first responders instantly went on alert and came and showed up. If you want to see the presence of God, look at those faces. And what's wonderful was in every one of these occasions, as in all tragedies, including 9/11, the presence of God is there. In first responders, but also in ordinary people. There was one man that I heard interviewed yesterday, this lovely African-American man that said he was in Walmart and he was getting ready to flee. And then he turned and he saw a group of children that were crying, that were separated from their parents. And so he said, I realized I had to scoop them up. So he and another man each scooped up three children, which was all they could carry. They got three children each, and they went for the door. And they faced potential danger to save the lives of those six children. That is the presence of God. And it is always and forever there. Before I was a Unity minister, as you all know, I worked as a nurse, and I did hospital chaplain work. I worked in some of the roughest hospitals in Dallas. As a nurse, I worked in Parkland Hospital, and I did my hospital chaplaincy in Methodist Hospital in the south part of Dallas, in the roughest area, where we were always on alert for the Saturday night knife and glove club, as we called it. You always staffed up, and if it was a full moon, like the old wise women say, you staffed it up even more. Full moon, Saturday, and a payday, you got everybody on board. But always, no matter how horrific the situation was, you could find the presence of God in it. In someone who was holding someone who was weeping, in the team that was working on someone trying to save their lives. There were times where I had to go out and there were two different gangs in the waiting room. And both of them had people in there and the police that were watching. So I went out to talk to one family and I walked back in and he said, Pam, please don't do that again. Let one of us go with you. But I knew it was all right. There were other times where my little radar would go off and go, don't go there right now. And I listened to it. But one thing I know is no matter what's going on, God is there. My favorite story of 9/11 was the firefighters running up the building, and I've told this before, but today feels like a day we need to remember this. They were running up in the building, and as people were coming down, they thanked them. And a number of people, they interviewed a small group of people, and they said, oh, these firemen were going up. When we were coming down, they were running into danger to save people. And they said they were the most beautiful young men I've ever seen, and they had the most incredible blue eyes. They all had these radiant, crystal clear blue eyes that we all just had to talk about once we got out. And my first Unity minister, Dorothy Curtis, specialized in studying angels, had books that were out of print that people gave her. She'd spent her life devoted to the study of angels. And she once told me a clear sign of the presence of an angel or a group of angels is the most incredibly blue eyes you will ever see. And I realized in that moment, these little pieces came together. And I saw, see a new day, hear a new way. And I thought, those firefighters had the courage and the presence to be that presence of the divine and of compassion and love and peace in that moment. But they didn't suffer because the angels came in and took over their physical forms and sent them on to the realms of peace and spirit. The people that were injured ranged from 2 to 82 in El Paso. All different kinds of people, all different spiritual traditions and races. And the thing that I think really strikes all of us that your song spoke to so beautifully is when it is dark, that is when a little bit of light makes the most difference. If you've got a candle lit out on a beautiful sunny day like this, you see the candle, but you don't notice the flame. But carry it into a darkened room. Same flame, but it really radiates and it gently fills the room. Have you ever noticed that? You walk in with a candle and it's one little dot of light, and then it begins to expand out. And then, before you know it, you can kind of see the edges of the room. And that's what we do with our presence. If we are willing to be present in the world, we're like that candle that is out present in the world when things are going wonderfully and we're celebrating. We are that light. You are the light of the world. But in times of shadowed and darkness, what we need to be willing to do is notice how brightly lights are still shining. It's about being at peace. It's about honoring our diversity. The man Jesus was the most radically inclusive person who had ever lived up to that point. He came from a tradition where, as a Jewish man, he should not have anything to do with Gentiles, should never sit at table with them. And he did. His inner circle was not only men, but was also women. He talked with a Roman soldier and healed his son. He talked to and communed with a tax collector that nobody liked. He would go to whoever was outcast, even to the lepers that everyone was terrified of, and accept them and love them and be that presence for and with them. My favorite image in the East that is the goddess of compassion is Kuan Yin. She's a bodhisattva. And a bodhisattva is a soul that has evolved to the point where they are absolutely one with the divine, and they can go back to spirit and not be here anymore if they don't want to. But they choose to stay, to be that presence for the world. A bodhisattva stays out of compassion, and the Kuan Yin, when she reached full enlightenment, she said, no, I will not go back to spirit until all are ready to go back to spirit. And according to legend, she lives in a sea cave off of Japan, where she is the goddess of compassion and mercy for all. She is the Eastern feminine energy that matches exactly the template of Jesus in Western tradition. He's the Western presence, she the Eastern, he the masculine, she the feminine. And so you'll notice I have Kuan Yin figures in many different places. I love Kuan Yin. And the thing that I love most about her is her other name is She Who Hears the Weeping World, Divine Mother. And Jesus talked about Divine Father, our Father who art in heaven. Connect, trust that divine presence. And it wasn't my Father, it was our Father. The Kuan Yin too is for all of the world. I gave you all each, I put these all over, this is the prayer that we wrote for the church many years ago. I did this when I was at a Unity conference and brought it back. So let's say these words together. Beloved presence of God, in which we live and move and have our being, we celebrate that unity is our spiritual home. We willingly and lovingly do that which is ours to do for the betterment of all. We pray and manifest goodness in faithful dedication to the path of the Christ. We give thanks that God is our instant, constant, and abundant source of supply. We live and move and have our being in harmonious unity with spirit and the world, and so it is. Amen. Isn't that something good to stand for? And I realized that a few years back, 5 years ago, when I was doing a Sunday talk, I recognized the word peace. Each letter represented a word that was how to build that sense of peace. And then as I was meditating on this morning, I realized that this is the expression of those steps of peace. The first P is for presence, beloved presence of God in which we live and move and have our being. E, enter in to that presence, recognize it, but move into it and find your home there. We celebrate that unity is our spiritual home. Enter into a communal concept and expression of this. A, acceptance. We willingly and lovingly do that which is ours for the betterment of all. I accept that the world is the way it is at this minute, and that I am called to accept that which is mine to do, not only for myself, but for all. And then C is to commune, to do it together, authentic, transformative, spiritual community. So to commune, we pray and we manifest goodness in faithful dedication to the path of the Christ. We pray and we act. We need both wings. And in communing, we give thanks that God is our instant, constant, and abundant source of supply. And that the peace that we seek and the peace that we are is always there for us to tap into. And then finally, the E in peace, express. Live it. We live and move and have our being in harmonious unity with Spirit and the world. Peace. Presence, entering in, accepting it, communing with it, and then being changed and expressing. The steps of finding peace. I'll put this on the website, but I made copies after this came for this for you to have. I invite you to take this home. And to use this to inspire you in the coming days. And I want to end once again with the Dalai Lama. Responsibility does not only lie with the leaders of our countries or with those who've been appointed or elected to do a particular job. It lies with each of us individually. Peace, for example, starts within each of us. When we have inner peace, we can be at peace with those around us. So I invite you to see and to hear, like with the beautiful song we did at the beginning, that peace isn't the absence of conflict, it's the presence of God in the midst of the conflict. Let us pray. Sweet, sweet Spirit, we open in willingness to be these divine channels of your presence. We open, we awaken to the world as it is. We are called to be present in this world and to create peace in and through and as us. We are called to join the Prince of Peace and the Bodhisattva of Compassion to be this presence of peace. As we settle into the presence, enter deeply into it, accept it into the core of our being, commune and let it change us, and then go forth to express this peace in new and powerful ways. And how blessed we are to not do it alone, but to be able to do it together. And for this, we are so profoundly grateful. Om, amen, and blessed be.